Glory to God. Good evening, everyone. Good evening, church. I hope we are doing fine today. Yeah, how is work? Or how was work? Hope it went well. So today I want us to continue from the conversation we had on Sunday, which is living an effective life, the life of prayer. And I was actually thinking maybe not. But I think there's also, our hunger does a lot to demand the intervention of God. You know, for example, if we were not hungry for the word of God, there's a kind of word we'll be hearing. It will look like the church in Corinth kind of words. Maybe we hear things like, I want to give you strong, but you're not hungry. But when we are hungry, when we, Bible says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. There is a response from heaven to that posture of heart. It says that they will be what? Filled. So, God would ensure that there is provision. You know, in Jeremiah, he also says, I'll give you pastors after my own heart. For one reason, so that they can feed you, show you in the way. God has a responsibility to his sheep because he's the shepherd, right? And so when the sheep is hungry, the shepherd has a responsibility to what? To feed the sheep. That was why David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So you can look at it from every time that I'm in a place of need, the shepherd made provision. Hallelujah. That's why it says, he laid me beside what? The still waters. He makes me to lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside what? The still waters. So God has a responsibility to always provide when we are hungry. Now, it will be unhealthy for us to say that we are full or we are not hungry. That wouldn't cause the provision of God to come our way. It will go in the way of anybody that is hungry. And that's why it's not about how long you've been following Jesus. If you actually start today and you are hungry today, you will be fed. You know, they won't tell you that, oh, someone was here 50 years ago. If your hunger is palpable and is real hunger, you will be filled. So it's not a thing of, oh, if I'm hungry for Jesus now, how will I be filled? No. Actually, they are the ones praying and hoping that you are hungry. It's as though there's enough food to go around. So many a times, the hunger that we have demand the kind of intervention that God brings into our midst. So that was what I was saying. So when we are hungry, it also determines, if you want to know the health or the state of hunger of a church like this, is the kind of word they are eating. That's what would inform you about the kind of hunger that they are currently experiencing. Hallelujah. And so it's not maybe putting together words that is really what God is interested in. God is always interested in feeling. It's like when we're all coming, they were making arrangement for feeding every one of us and ensuring that nobody leaves this door not filled. So you can see that before service started 5:30, service actually started 1 a.m. Do you get? They started making preparation. What would this person eat? They were making all the menu in their specific, nature. Then they now summed all the hunger together into maybe one sermon. Knowing that when that person that has been destined to attend that service is in that state of hunger, that food will fill that person. So I'm saying to us that our hunger is what is keeping us healthy. The day we lose our hunger, even the things we prayed that we will not do, we'll be doing them. I mean, like, the things, whether obvious or not so obvious, but anything you've prayed against, if you don't have hunger for what will not bring it, it will come. So the dance you don't want to dance, if you are not hungry for the right thing, the dance you don't want to dance, you will dance it. Because somebody else that is not hungry also will sing it. You know? And so we not being hungry also has its own provision. Hallelujah. But I'm grateful to God that, you know, we can have hunger in our hearts, and we're trusting God that we will be filled today and every other day of our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go to the book of James, which was our anchor scripture, James chapter 5. Father, we thank you. We cannot do this on our own. We trust the Spirit of grace that is able to teach us your word and guide us into all truth. We trust the Holy Spirit in a new way, not like we've done before. We know that the spirit of supplication is here. And I release myself, and we all release our hearts to the ministration of God that is able to save our souls, the ministration of the word of God that is able to save our souls. We release ourselves and we say, Father, feed us, O God. We are hungry. Feed us, O God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name have we prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I want our responses to also be energetic. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, I like that. Please, let's try to maintain that. Huh? Yeah, let's go to James chapter 5. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders. You know, prayer is a very essential thing that as a child of God you must have in your life. You know, when you're experiencing a good thing, it deserves prayer, right? Or let me even start from the one that could seem to be obvious. You know, when you're experiencing a bad thing or you're going through a situation that is not so palatable, does it require prayer? It's like some people don't do prayer when they are going through tough moments. Let me ask again. When a situation is not so good, it's not palatable, does it require prayer?
Yes. Yeah.
But we also know that when it's good, it also still requires prayer, right?
Yes.
You know, Yoruba guy says, Untunda, Ufiadura. Ah. Now, me, I don't even know that level. That's a deep Yoruba. Now, when you are exiting a season, you need prayers. When you're also coming into a new season, you need prayers. So, prayer is what is applicable in every season, in every situation. You know, that's why they encourage us that we should pray without what season. Because it's as though prayer should be constant. Prayer, 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 prayer. Like you should be praying and you should be in prayer. You should be prayed for. You should be praying for someone. Like prayer is a very key thing that a believer must have. You must have that thing sealed. You must know that if you are not praying, you are a prey to the devil. If you're not praying, you are gone. If you're not praying, something is wrong. And that's what I'm trying to say. If you're not praying, things are not well. You know, the idea that if I'm not praying, maybe it's only when things are bad that I should pray. Because even the watchman would watch either ways, whether there's a bad thing is coming or whether nothing is coming. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So he says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders. No. 13. We haven't read 13. Yeah. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him what? Pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him what? Sing psalms. Hallelujah. Is anyone among you sick? let him call for the elders of the church. This AC is not blowing again. That stuff is frozen. The FSF people, have you? That's what we call them. FSP, sorry. First time I heard that name, I was like, ah, is this a political party? FSP. Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Let's move. 15. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, it will be forgiven. You know, like we said, if anyone is sick, it could either be an affliction from the enemy or it could be the wage of a sin. So if it's the wage of a sin, we'll be doing a dual operation. We'll be removing the sin and we'll be removing the sin. So the person's sin will be forgiven, because if the sin is retained, that is a door for the sin to return back and probably even something worse. And that's why you have to be very careful. If, for example, you come to the house of the Lord and you were prayed for and your sickness was healed, and then you decide to go back to the sin, you know, it's like you used your own hand to do yourself. You know, it's not something to do. It's not something you should do. Because the path of redemption in that case might be worse than, and it might be more difficult to restore both you from both the sin and the sickness in itself. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be what? Be healed. So when we pray for one another, healing would happen. Healing would happen. Healing would happen. If someone comes to you and says, I'm having this pain, you know, you just pray. Do you understand? It says when you pray for one another, there will be healing. There will be healing. We shouldn't hear any issue and when we say we don't know what to do, we've actually prayed first. You know, it shouldn't be that we say we don't know what to do and we have not prayed. Then he says, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Hallelujah. So I'll quickly, you know, we talked about a lot of things. You know, thank God, God helped us. One of the things we talked about was the pillars of a life of prayer. And we mentioned about four things. If you haven't listened to the message, it's fine. But I think I would implore you to do that. But I think some of the things I'll also be saying is to establish all the things we said on Sunday. So we said four key pillars of a life of prayer. And we say a life of prayer because we want to live an effective life, right? We want a life that amounts to everything that God wants it to amount to. Wow, good to see you. How are you? We want a life that when God looks at this life, nothing is left undone. You know, when Paul would say that, I have finished everything that I'm meant to, that's an effective life. Now, effective is different from efficiency, but that's not what I am talking about today. Effective means you are doing everything that God wants you to do in season, in the right time, in the right size, with the right resources. Do you understand? And we say that the life of prayer is something you need to have to live an effective life. So if you don't have a life of prayer, the chances that life will be effective, even though you understand the concept of the life of faith, and you are trusting God, God, prune me, use me as you wish, you know, anything that is in me that is not bringing glory to you, Father, take it away. If you are doing those two things, but you don't have a life of prayer, the life wouldn't still be effective. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we said that four things: sincerity, brokenness or contrite heart, right? Truth and faith. So these four things, we said that they will give you a framework, you know, something that ensures that you can have an effective prayer life that gives you a life of prayer. So we said that sincerity is, you should come to God as what? As you are. Come to God as you are. Don't come like the Pharisee, you know, that said, I'm not like the extortioner. I'm not like even this tax collector, you know, and he didn't mention his name. I would say something, if you don't come to God with sincerity, you wouldn't appear before God. Because sincerity is what gives you the opportunity to respond to your conscience. Meaning you can look at where you are and your, for example, you don't have to be who you are not to enter into the presence of God. Now, you might enter into the heart of people. You know, people might have a mental picture of who you are. This person is a praying machine. This person is a, I saw one name recently. I'm like, there are different names, you know. Now, when I went to MCCF conference in Jos, I saw somebody, you can call him a bulldozer. Yeah, you can't stay on his path. He will crush you. I didn't even tell them I was going to Jos. Before they carry, you know, I've gone to Ilorin, I didn't tell them. I went to Jos. So when you see a bulldozer, you quickly leave so that you can return home in peace. Yeah, so I left. It was literally like, that was the way he was praying. And I thank God for his life. because it's just an amazing sight. You know, looking at a child of God praying like that. It's not bad. I'm not saying anything. Whether it's bad or good, I don't know. But yeah, you can have you can wear a garment that, you know, we really don't know where we are. It's God that knows where we are. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when we say we are coming to God, we also have to come to God the way we are so that God can help us. So if we come with a paraphilia, right? I think that's how they pronounce it. Paraphilia. That's a big word though. Or you come to God with a kind of a clothing that is a facade, right? Thank you. A clothing that is not yours. God knows. We might not know. Do you understand? We might not know. And because you're not praying to us, you are praying to God. So we wouldn't be the one to answer your prayer. So I wouldn't even be under the pressure of being impressed or not being impressed. Hallelujah. Amen. And then we said brokenness is different from sincerity. Brokenness is you responding to God at the instance of his word. So whether it is the word of God as it is written in the scriptures or the word of God as God speaks to you. So for example, you're skabashing, you're praying, and God says, tell that brother you are sorry. Now, you can say, God, I know I offended him. Now you're sincere. But God, I will not tell him, sorry, you're not broken. Do you understand? So he's saying, God, he offended me first. I know I'm angry with him, blah, blah, blah. But you are acknowledging that, yeah, you are angry. But you are not acknowledging, you're not responding to God. You're responding to yourself. Now, some people don't respond to themselves. Now, those are the ones that have seared their conscience with hot iron. Yeah, there are people like that. There are people like that. For example, when you are, for you to take a substance that will kill you, you've killed your conscience. Or to go in a direction that will take your life, you've shot your conscience. But brokenness is that you can now respond to God. You can say, God, here I am. You know, this is, you know, I even found out that brokenness, something sitting between brokenness is the truth of the word of God. Or truth, generally, truth. Because the reason why you are not agreeing to be broken is that there's a lie you are believing. So that's why truth is also very core to a life of prayer. You know, last week I was even looking at truth from to pray right, you have to pray truth. So for example, when you are praying what does not exist, it's not a prayer. So for example, you're saying, you know, whatsoever is a lie. Now, it's not a prayer because it's not the truth. And whatsoever lie is, maybe lie could be what God has not destined for you, that you think you want to become. Now, we'll look at how to pray prayer that will not be answered. There are four things. If you are doing any of those four, forget it. Nothing is coming back. Well, let's quickly look at that. Four things. Now, not praying is no answered prayers. We know that one already. You know, like Bishop said, a closed mouth. How did you know? Yeah, it's true. Bible says the reason why you don't have is because you don't ask. So a person that doesn't pray is like the guy that is observing the wind. Yeah, and he wants to do great things with the wind. He's not praying. There can't be answered what? Prayers. So that's the first one. The second kind of prayer that if you like, pray and let all your sweat, you know, bust out. You know, you are also shedding blood like Jesus did in Gethsemane. It's when you pray amiss. Now, praying amiss, first of all, starts from not praying by the truth of God's word. But praying amiss is largely because you have another motive of where that prayer would be vested on, or where you would spend that resource that you are asking God for. So let's imagine maybe you are saying, God, give me X, Y, Z. But the use of that prayer is to be spent on your lust. You know, that's why I said. He says the reason why you pray and you don't receive is because you pray amiss. This is all James 4. The first one is when you don't ask at all. You won't have a record of answered prayers. So the person that is currently not praying should not be counting this is a prayer that God has answered or not answered. Because all your petitions are unanswered because they were not heard. You didn't pray. You know, some people even fall into there's this extreme. God already knows what I want, so I don't need to ask. You know, that one is in Matthew 6. No, I think it's the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Or maybe Matthew 6. But we'll look at all of them. So the second one is when you pray amiss. Either because you are not praying according to the truth of God's word. So for example, if the Bible says this about this, and then you are praying something that is completely contrary to this. For example, the Bible says your husband would love you, and then you are praying that, God, put submission in his heart. God, put submission in the heart of my husband. He's too arrogant. Now, you are not praying according to the truth of God's word. Now you're praying amiss. Obviously, because you want a man that you can climb on his back. Or most importantly, because you have a lust that you need to, you know, that needs that resource. Hallelujah. Amen. The third thing that will consider you not to have answered prayers is doubt or double-mindedness. Bible says, let anyone that is double-minded never consider to receive anything from God. He should not. Like, it's a waste of time. When you are praying, as you are saying, Olon Olileshe, you are saying, Olon Olileshe. Like, as you are praying about it, you are thinking 1,000 ways that you won't be able to do it. They say that one, don't even worry. Don't waste your sweat. Just carry your bag and leave. He says that one should not expect. He says, for let not that man suppose that. That means he should not think. Because he can think something else. He can think that God cannot do it. So why will he now be thinking that God will give him? Is it for God to prove a point? No, he wouldn't do anything to prove anything. Either wrong or right. Do you know how many people are saying, how would you have a wicked God that will be allowing bad things to happen? They will see experience another bad thing tomorrow. God is not like, let me just show this person that I'm not that wicked. He said, that one that is that, as he said, how a God that is not kind, tomorrow the person will receive unkindness again from the enemy. So when you are saying, what is not making this my prayer answered? Either look at whether you've even prayed about it at all. If you've not prayed about it at all, it is considered to be unanswered. Then when you pray amiss, right? When you pray amiss, when you don't pray according to the word of God, or when you have a motive where you would explore that resource with. You know, we've seen people say, God, promote me to this high position, right? But God knows that you are looking for fame. Or God knows, the one that even vexes me, I know he vexes, was you want to prove a point to them at home. Or like this guy, that Ray Melody's popular song. Oh, Atorishe, I think either of them. Yeah, meeting the bolo. God is not in that business of what will they say. I think Shaye knows that song. Yeah, meeting the bolo. See, heaven has not been moved because somebody is growing old. So you are saying, God, bless me. My first brother is riding Jeep. This one is riding Oma. God knows that your own Picanto is so that you can. You will not allow people rest. So he's not. You can answer that prayer yourself. You should even go answer it yourself. If you have any prayer point that you already have a motive for, find a way to sponsor it. Save towards it. Just find a way to answer it yourself. Because God, he knows you want to consume it on your lust. That's what he said. Because you have a motive. Because that lust there is a motive that is not a godly motive. It's not lust as per sinful lust. It's just that you are in a position where the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and the lust of the flesh is seated in your heart. And you need God to answer a prayer to sponsor that need. Hallelujah. Amen. So the third one is what? The guy that is doubting. The guy with double mind. The fourth one is the hypocrite. Now, what God does to the hypocrite is that hypocrite, even if he's praying, he's not praying. Because like I said, when you're not sincere, you are not appearing before God. So because the opposite of hypocrisy is sincerity. So if the one that is hypocrite is praying, he has not prayed because he didn't appear. He didn't appear before God. I think Matthew 6:5. Let's go to Matthew 6:5. It says, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. You know what that means? He has the responsibility to answer his own prayers. Whatsoever he's asking, he should go on. Because he wants people to see something. The main duty is come and pray. But he has another agenda that and, you know, at times we always say that, you know, even though if you are not in the mood of prayer, just pray because your brother is praying. Be very careful not to fall into hypocrisy. Yeah, be very careful. Because you may not have appeared before God. You might eventually appear as a number that added their voice to the volume of the rest of the voices. But let it be in your heart that is God hearing? If God is not hearing you, don't stress. Ensure first that you can identify that as Laolukom or is another person that has appeared in the service. So those are four things to note around unanswered prayers. So if you think you've even had any catalog of unanswered prayers, is either one or two or four of these things that is the reason why the prayers were not answered. Hallelujah. I just want to help someone here because you could also be asking, are there prayers God don't answer? Yeah, these are the kind of prayers God don't answer. We'll look at the confidence and the assurance in prayer because that is to birth in our hearts the knowing that anytime we pray according to his will, he hears us. And Bible says, and if he hears us, he grants our petition. Glory to God. So a child of God should not pray right, and that prayer will be unanswered. We would also see what answered prayers actually means. When somebody is asking, even me too, I don't know. At least I've jumped to like page. Maybe like this unanswered prayer is somewhere further out, but I ran there. Anywhere it carries us today, we are fine. Glory to God. So don't forget the pillars I mentioned, which is sincerity, brokenness, or contrite heart, truth, and faith. Don't forget it will get you to have a good prayer life. A prayer life where you are not seeking to impress. Now there are physical exercising in prayer. What do I mean by it? For example, when you say that I want to pray for 1 hour, I want to pray in tongues for 1 hour, and I want to. Now, they all bring you spiritual profit. For example, maybe all you could pray now is maybe 5 minutes. Now, you need to train or be trained to now maybe pray 10 minutes, 15 minutes. But in that 5 minutes, you must do those four things. You must be sincere, you must be broken, you must pray by truth, and you must pray by faith. So whether it's 1 minute or it's 52 hours. So you can say, my one is 52 hours, but I was not sincere. You didn't pray. So there's that training of, I'm praying 5 hours now. I'm praying 10 hours now. I'm praying 2 hours now. I'm praying every 5 minutes, every 20 minutes. But in those pockets of prayer sessions, you have to be fulfilling what makes the prayer heard. Even when you say that you are praying in the Holy Ghost, we'll look at that as well. As Jude said it, and even as Romans 8 said it, that we know not what, or we know not what, how to pray about. It's KJV English, amazing. But simply put, we don't know how to pray. But the Spirit helps our infirmities with groanings that cannot be uttered. Now, the reason the Spirit does that is because it's the Spirit that searches what the things of God. Now, in Psalms, it tells us that the Spirit of man is the candlelight of the Lord. Now, but in the New Testament, we now have the infilling of the Holy Ghost. That one searches the things of God. So because we can't on our own find what is in the heart of God, because we want to pray the will of the Father. We want to pray truth. We want to pray what God would hear or what God has a response to. Because we want to do that, we need to rely on the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Don't worry. Anyhow, this message meets you. Just maybe I finish your own service. Just I can't give offering now. But just wait for us. The one of unanswered prayer is someone's. That's for somebody. Because you know that God has not heard some prayers. Like, it's just that you are not being truthful to us. When we say, God does not owe you, God owes me. You know, like, what we say in NCC, when we want to collect capitation, people say, God does not owe any man. God, it's just that we're not giving somebody the privilege to raise up his hand. I say, God is owing me. He's owing me. So we always use that to collect capitation. How many of you paid your capitation? Some of you don't even know what capitation is. It's your first allowee. Some of you were not even in NCC. You ran away. You didn't even do anything. Jesus cop out. What's that? Hallelujah. So like we said, sincerity is a response to your conscience. And we always have to ensure that we still have good conscience. Because the way it works is, the way to get a bad conscience is, every time your conscience pricks you, silence it. So, over that matter, you will not be able to respond. It's like when a skin is dead to stimulus, right? You know, when you pinch a dead man, it does not have stimulus. It can't respond. So over that, like in that area, you can't respond. You can't have any nudging. So before you know it, the person now has a dead conscience. So that's what it meant by when it says they've seared their conscience with hot iron. Now, for brokenness, like we said, it's a response to God. And then truth is whatever is the word of God, whether it's the logos, the written word, or is the rhema, the spoken word. Hallelujah. Amen. So if God speaks about that issue, you responding to it is brokenness for you. That affords you brokenness. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Let's quickly look at the confidence that we need to have in the place of prayer. Now, we're looking at, you know, living an effective life by building a life of what? A life of prayer. We're saying if we get our prayer life intact or right, we would be effective in everything that God wants us to fulfill and accomplish in life. And even beyond. So there are three things that should develop our confidence in prayer. So when we say we are going to pray. And some of you, you might learn, even in this teaching, patterns. Do you get? And trust God, yeah. Particularly, you know, if you know you don't have a prayer life. Trust God to take clear, tangible patterns, like I will do X, Y, Z, and I'll be getting results. You know, like we said, it's not about the time. But we said in that time, ensure you are fulfilling the length and the breadth and the depth of what forms an answered prayer. Or a prayer that God can consider that you have asked and then you can receive. You know, when it says ask and you shall receive, it is on the borders of asking right. Asking and ensure that you didn't ask amiss. Asking and ensuring that you didn't ask to fulfill your lust. You can see that simple thing. Ask and yeah, some people just ask and they thought they would receive. And then they didn't receive. Then they are now in strife and envy. So the confidence that is required as we build a prayer life, one of it is how we enter. You know, Bible says, enter boldly to the throne of grace. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 from verse 14. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So you should notice that when you're coming to God, God knows, God is seeing you. Do you get? So it would be unfair to yourself to think that he doesn't know or he doesn't see. He says we should know that the person we are dealing with, all things are naked before him. This is why I know that people don't pray with accent to God. When you are praying to God, you pray to God. You know, one thing I always do then in school is, okay, don't worry, let's leave that. You know, we've always heard this now, you know, when maybe a guy is chasing a girl, like, this guy is fine. And then by the time he sees the girl praying, he will change his mind. No. Man, I want to pray man proper. Verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now, this was establishing the position of Jesus Christ as the mediator. Yeah, mediator of the new covenant, one. But also the person that is seated at the right hand of the Father that makes prayers on our behalf. Now, of which most of us should know that, we pray to the Father, but in the name of Jesus. So not in the name of Holy Mary, not in the name of any of the saints, you know. I think it was yesterday I heard that even Stephen is a saint. You know, I think that's to the Orthodox Church and maybe even to the Catholic Church. I know. There's even an argument that, you know, I like that argument that there's nothing like the Catholic Church. But don't worry. It's, you know, there a lot of things are on the internet, right? Yeah. That's what I said. It's very funny. But yeah, but let's leave that. But you can only pray to the Father in the name of who? In the name of Jesus. Not in the name of another. Bible says we have not been given another name by which men will or must be saved. Verse 16. So let us therefore come. Can we say this?
Let us therefore come boldly.
Yes. So this is how we come. So when you are coming to pray, you must come boldly. It says that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now that's prayer. Prayer is find grace to help in time of need. So it says, come boldly. Don't come timid. Don't come thinking you are not accepted. It says, come boldly. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Come boldly. Now, if you are to break down this boldly, one of it is enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Yeah, because you can't be in thanksgiving when you are in doubt, dig it, or when you are in a place that you are timid, meaning you are not sure of where you are going to. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that's the first confidence we are to develop in the place of prayer, is how we enter. We enter boldly. We enter boldly. The second one is we ask by faith. We ask by faith. Or we ask in faith. So if you would ask God anything, ask knowing that he is able to do exceedingly far above all that we can. So ask in faith, knowing that even what I'm asking is a token in what this man can do. So let's go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 2 to 8. And let's be fair, I think we have about 3 scriptures here. Say, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. We're going to verse 8. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any one of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraided not, and it shall be given him. But let him do what? Ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Go back to verse 6. He says, but let him what? Ask in faith. So when you are asking anything of God, when you are trusting that you will find grace in time of need, you must do that in faith. That when I come to this throne of grace, I will find grace in this time of need. See, if you come helpless to the throne of grace, they will help you. But you must come helpless boldly and in faith that this is where I can get help. You know, at times you might think that when you pray about a thing, you still need to do other many other things to get that thing answered. See, when you truly bring a matter to God, the bulk stops with him, but most importantly, that issue now has the valid and ultimate attention. So when you say, God, my marriage is struggling. Now, you are not saying it as a religious act, but you are really coming to the one that solves every marital issues. And then you come boldly like, you solved Abraham and Sarah's own. You solved this man and this man's own. Yeah, I'm coming to you because you can solve this. And I know I'm asking that whatsoever is an issue in this home should be resolved. If I'm the issue, God, fix me. See, God answers prayers. But when you ask in faith, he answers it. But when you don't ask in faith, when you are with, you're like, we got to do it. We got to not do it. Is God able to do it? No. He says, don't expect anything from him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you ask in what?
Faith.
In faith. Let's look at Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11 from verse 22. We're looking at the confidence we build in the place of prayer. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall. And where did you switch to KJV? I've seen people have been struggling. Ah, when they sweat, Lord, yes. Oh, God of mercy. I always say, oh, God of my wife. My wife is, her name is Mercy. So I say, oh, God of my wife, or I say, oh, God of mercy. It works both ways. For you, you can't say, oh, God of my wife. Maybe your wife is Chukuma. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So that's asking in faith. Knowing that this marriage will work because I've told it to God. Guys, whenever me, I'm confused. Man, I know how. I know how to clearly take the matter, not take many matters. Clearly take the matter and say, God, I'm coming boldly to find grace for this need. I need help. Maybe the other ones, maybe I don't need help yet. Maybe I'm even struggling there, but I don't even think maybe I need help yet. But this one, I can identify it. That I came to you to help on this matter. Then maybe I was cabbage dress. Because maybe another day we'll look at praying in understanding, you know, and maybe, yeah, you know, this Bible study, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we are looking at the Word of God. We're going to 26. 25. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your what? Your trespasses. 26. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Let's look at 1 John chapter 5 from verse 14. 5:14. He also talks about asking in faith. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him. I like this. He says, this is the confidence we have. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Can you say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
See, build this confidence that this is the confidence may I have, that once I ask according to his will, once I ask in truth and I ask in faith and I'm not wavering, I would receive what I ask.
Yes.
Yes. See, your number of unanswered prayers would get to zero.
Yes.
Yeah. Then the last where we build confidence in the place of prayers, we live in thanksgiving. I tell you, you may be wondering, after we pray like this, why is this prayer person struggling to reach? Now can we begin to thank God? It's not like she wants to wrap it up. It's that we have to leave this place with thanksgiving. That's the only acceptable way to exit this place. It's not, God, what you go met out? I'm coming tomorrow. No. Your God is not like that. No. It's that we know he has heard us. Thank you, Father. You can literally thank God for the things you've asked.
Yes.
Yeah. Lord, thank you. I have received this funding. Lord, thank you that I have received this provision.
Yes.
Don't always forget to live in thanksgiving. Don't live with, we only did 3/4 of the prayer point. No. Even if prayer shiku, do as if it. Like maybe let's ask maybe time. Time didn't afford us to pray everything. Do as though it is finished. Thank him, rejoice. Give praise. Say thank you, Father, that you've supplied what we have asked.
Yes.
The one I always now used to. And I know that even the ones I have not asked, you are more than able.
Yes.
You are more than able. You are more than able. Because there's no time. But I will not leave that place knowing that he has not answered. Or I've not prayed this. No. So that's the confidence we develop in the place of prayer. So we are leaving our prayer rooms champions. We are leaving our altars champions. This is how you can, after your money, your face can be bright. Like, when you see somebody after morning devotion, they are still with heaviness. Ah, they didn't live with thanksgiving. Because the problem is still much. God has joined some people's prayer point with their own prayer point. Then there's heaviness in their heart. He says, he will, for that your heaviness, he will give you the garment of praise. That's what he said, right? So when you come boldly without burden, they will take away that garment and give you another garment. For the spirit of heaviness, it will give you another garment. So if you wore spirit of heaviness there, and you are now heftier, there's a problem. There's a problem. Glory to God. So we've looked at how a prayer can be unanswered and what we can consider as unanswered prayers, right? So I'm trying to just look through my notes. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
When we come to the place of prayer, it's because God wants us to get results. You know, prayer is the opportunity to hand off or take your hands off that issue. Yeah, prayer is that your opportunity. It's your opportunity to say, I've come to the place of grace. I have a need, and in this time, I will find help. It is you removing your hands completely. I say, God, I've come to the place of rescue. I've come to the place, and it is all issues. See, learn to pray about everything.
Yeah.
You will find out that you don't have anything that has not been attended to. See, I can say before you, the things that have not been attended to, they have not been prayed rightly, or they've not been prayed at all. I remember, I'm not even sure I've told my wife this before. You know, when I served in, don't laugh too much, but if you laugh too much, God will see your heart. Even if you're not laughing. So when I was serving in school, I served from year 1 to year 5. And one of the funny requirements of serving, and when I say serving, I mean like a student pastor in university, was that you wouldn't be in a relationship. Why is it? So that's why I don't always say that I wouldn't have done that. I always even tell myself that. I think it's because God saw that I might do it. He just could put me where the requirement is. Yeah. And so that was the requirement. So it's probably not even your prayer point. Do you get? Now, you might be doing some, you know, you might be calling someone your sister, my sister, my sister, my sister. But it's not that one day you can change the name. Say, my sister indeed, my sister indeed, my sister in the Lord. It's not that one day you can comfortably change my wife indeed. Yeah, at times you can just be doing that one. That one is, nobody can hold you. You say, I say it's my sister. That was what I did to my My wife said, my sister. Before we knew her, I was, the Lord is leading me to my sister. But before then, there was this particular day. I think there was just a, I just had maybe what I would call maybe like a feeling towards a sister in fellowship then. So before, I would normally, I think she was just a nice person. Do you get? But before, I could easily interact. But I now found that I could not easily interact. Maybe if the lady just appeared from that corner, my heart would be. So yeah, someone that I could see before. It was not very difficult. Person just maybe appear from nowhere. And at times I even felt she now even knew. She was not using to torment, she'll be appearing. So that day after school, I told myself that I need to pray about this feeling. I didn't go and say, God, who is this Jezebel that is appearing? So I went back home in Bariga and I knelt down. I was sincere first of all. Say, God, this is where my heart is. I don't know how I got there. I don't know what made me to be. I don't know how it happened. But now, I now also prayed one kind prayer. Because I was like, maybe it's my wife that God is bringing like that. And I said, God, if it's your feeling, because I don't have bae, if I'm not going to reject the one there, so I wasn't sure. I said, God, if it is your feeling, let it stay. But if it's not your feeling, take it away. So the next day I saw, I didn't feel anything again. So that thing told me something about, I can really pray about anything. No? Like, so it wasn't that the same way she always appeared. She appeared like that, and she disappeared. Because I was already telling myself, if I was in that space for too long, I was going to call a brother. Yeah, because what you've prayed about, and you're not seeing, get somebody else. Get another brother. Because things might have been mixed up. So get another brother. Let them help you. But that day, God helped me, so I didn't even need to take that. But he told me something about how I can go on my knees to really pray. Some people say that could be silly. You should have just managed that. No. I don't know. Maybe that's my genesis of many troubles. The only thing I knew then is that I can pray about everything. Some of the Kenneth Hagin books we read then is to be praying about everything. To be praying about everything. Because we know that when we ask in faith, it will trash the issues. Hallelujah. Amen. Friends, you should never have a record of unanswered prayer. Now that sounds to be like, are we saying God answers all prayers? Yes. As long as it has been asked according to his will. What is his will? You can come to him as you are. And when he speaks, you are ready to respond to what he says. Because at times, the trouble for most people is when God says a thing, it's not what they are expecting. So they can't respond to God. So you prayed about this thing. Then God says, that is not. Like all your expectations are just shattered. I like the prayers of David. You know, we always say the expectation of the righteous will not be cut short. But me, I really like the expectation of David. When he says, my expectations come from you. Now, that one is different though. Yeah. One, I have an expectation. Then I pull a legal ground of the expectation of the righteous. But a lot of a righteous expectation. They are chopping the righteous eyes. Yeah. So it's like a safe spot. Is God, see, my own expectation is coming from me. That was his own prayer. That one, you can't you can't have losses because you never had an expectation. So when they now tell you that this is God's expectation for your marriage, you don't even have one. So it's like you are NFA around expectation. Now, the reason why we are downcast is because when we bring our expectation and then we hear his expectation, we can't be broken again. Some of us, it takes now surrender to drop yours and take his before we become broken. For some people, they don't have one. They don't have an expectation. Once God says, this is it, they are just saying, unto you. And so it's easier for them because they didn't have a lot that would now start fighting with God's expectation. And that's why for some people, that's why they struggle maritally. Because they have an expectation. Then they now know that, I can't do this thing without praying to God. Then they now go to God in prayer. Then God now says, it's not like this. And then there's now a clash of expectation. And then they now begin to say, God, but you said the expectation of the righteous will not be cut short. It says, my soul waited silently for good alone, for my expectation is from him. The day I found the scripture, I started telling myself, see, guy, expectation of due, expectation of law. If I get it from God, it's better than, and this is when you can also know that his thoughts towards you, they are good and not of evil, to bring you what? To an expected end. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has proposed in his heart to them that love him and are called according to his purpose. Now, that's his expectation. So why do I need mine? For what? Even Pacaria, his expectation is so far apart. Glory to God. That's what a life of prayer is. You know, I trust God that someone here has received deliverance, for particularly for your life of prayer that either doesn't exist or it has no placement. You know, you just wake up every morning and whether you pray or not, you're not even sure whether you've prayed. And it's not about a religious rite. Is that you know you are communicating with the God of heaven, your own Father, that has told you, come boldly to where I sit, which is the place of grace. So it should always bring us delight when we pray. You know you've communicated with the possessor of what? Heaven and earth. So who can, that's why it says, who can stand before Zerubbabel? Which mountain will stand before Zerubbabel? Because I've given him a word. He says, if you say to this mountain, be removed, it will be moved. So I'm trusting God that God is restoring some of us to the place of genuine altars. You know, where you know that your prayer altar is real. It's real, it's real. It's not a place of struggle. Friend, it's not a place of, I don't even know how to do it. No, there's a way to do it, and it's working. It's working, it's working. If you don't put your heart to it, you wouldn't ever think or imagine that it should work. But now you are here, you should pray that, God, this thing has to work. Because the list of unanswered prayer is not your fault, it's my fault. It's not that he's waiting. He's waiting until I'm serious. No, it was. See, answered prayer is that God spoke to it. You know, that's one thing we're not able to look at. Because for some people, the answered prayer is that I've seen the manifestation of the substance of what I have asked for. But answered prayer is his word. Like Papi will tell us, God will never give you anything that is physical as an answer to your prayer. It's his word that he will give to you. That's the word that you will now use to do life, that will produce the things that are now seen. It is what is not seen that will produce the things that are now seen. And it's his word. If you're having troubles in your is when you go to God in prayer, God, I'm having issues with this. I'm having troubles with this. I know if I come to you, you will get this sorted. And I know I have received answers to this. Glory to God. And you leave, and then you see the hand of God come to work in your life. This is how we need to do business, we in the place of prayer. This is how we should do business in the place. Don't do anything except you've prayed about it. Don't do anything. Don't make a step. Thank you, Jesus. Now let's just surrender to God. Let's give him all. Let's give him our time, our everything, our being. I will tell you that anything you've tried before, this one will work on. Because this is the word of God to you. This is the word of God to your family. This is the word of God to your health. This is the word of God to your finances. Be sincere with him. Be honest with him. Be honest with him. The ones he has told you his word about, respond to that word. You will find brokenness in it. You think you can't respond to God? No, you just look at what he has said about that thing. Thank you, Jesus. Help everyone here today. Help us, Lord. Help me, myself. Help us, Jesus. None of us is above this. We need you daily. We need you daily. We are more and more beautiful when we go into that place of prayer and we come out with joy, singing. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, have we prayed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If God permits, we will look at what I think is the last part of living an effective life, which is a place of the Word of God. But they've not brought it. May the Lord bless us. In-